Coming up on the season finale of You're Invited.
We ingest. Every day's Oktoberfest. Drinking brews is what we choose, and we refuse to be suppressed. We love Coors. We love Buds. We'll quaff any kind of sud.
Word freaks, humor geeks, folks whose tongues are in their cheeks. Welcome to the Style Invitational. Misfits, wags and wits, folks who laugh at naughty bits. Here's a show that's fun and educational. You will meet our leading losers and learn the way they think. Take their tips and maybe you will see your name in ink. Empress Pat, aristocrat, she'll put out the welcome mat. So get in line and file in, soon you will be smiling. Welcome to the Style Invitational.
Welcome to another episode, in fact, the season finale of You're Invited, a half hour of fun with the creators, aiders, and abettors of the Style Invitational Contest. We close out the season perfectly where we asked Mark Rathman to be our guest. Among other things, Mark is known for getting ink with umpteen parodies of that Beauty and the Beast song. Welcome, Mark. It's a privilege and pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you, Michael. I'm delighted and humbled to be a part of it.
Now, let me throw some stats at you. You started in week 979. You are currently in ninth place with 747 inks, including 25 wins. Here's a daunting question. What's the secret to your success?
Showing up, mostly. You know, I now enter just about every week, and just about every day I'll sit at, you know, and take a 5-minute break here or there and say, oh, what's this week's contest? And have I got any ideas? You know, it starts with just you can't lose if you don't play.
Tell me the truth. Does that 5 minutes turn into half an hour? Or since you're an attorney, so you're used to billing in 6-minute intervals. Do you apply that same approach to your coming up with contest entries or?
I will tell you, honestly, the concept of a 6-minute break every hour or a break that is of that length is it goes way, way back to the time when I was a cigarette smoker and I'd take a smoke break every now and then to sort of get up. Usually I'd have to go outside or open the window and clear my head. I would say 30 years ago, I quit smoking cigarettes, but continue to enjoy the concept of clearing my head every now and often. And I think it makes for a better work experience as well as a more fun experience of doing silly Style Invitational entries.
Well, I'm glad you kicked one dangerous habit for one slightly less dangerous habit, though they may be both as addicting. But since you mentioned the cigarette, I heard a story, actually Pat mentioned to me that you met somebody of some renown when you were out on a smoking break or used to take smoking breaks with this person.
That's true. When I was in law school, the only two cigarette smokers on the law review that year were me and Elena Kagan. So Elena and I would sort of sit on the stoop of the review and bum cigarettes from each other. And, you know, I think she quit smoking before I did, but we both quit around the same time.
I went through, you're well known for umpteen parodies, I said, of Be Our Guest. I went through the NRAR's site and I put in Be Our Guest and I did a search and I came up with 22 entries of parodies of Be Our Guest that have won. Do you have any idea how many of them are from you?
I counted once and I thought it was somewhere in the neighborhood of 12 or 13 that were inking entries, but I could be wrong.
Maybe I missed some. I have 22 overall, 10 by you, 12 by everyone else combined. Now, it's quite possible that I missed them. Do you know who's in second place? Only one other person that I could find has more than one Be Our Guest parody, and this person has 5.
It's got to be Duncan.
Yes.
Duncan Stevens, yeah.
And you've inked in the same contest with two different Be Our Guest songs. So I'm going to list your Be Our Guest songs very quickly, and you tell me which is your favorite. So you did one, the first one, and you won on this, was summarizing Porky's, the movie plot. Another one was Obama was irked by Netanyahu. A third one was mice in the White House or mice with Trump. Another one was Lament of the Republican Establishment. The fifth one was Reasons for Hope After Trump Was Elected. You got third place for that one. Science-related songs, you talked about drug patents, that's second place. Education-themed parodies, you talked about home economics in 1963, that got fourth. Modern Woes, Cheating on Standardized Tests, and song parodies about the news, congressional dress code, and then you got a year in review one, a retry, songs about Corona, Here's My Check. I threw a lot out to you, but do you have a favorite among those?
I got to tell you that the two favorites, I honestly had forgotten about some of those. And I'm going to have to now go back and look at some of them. The home economics one in particular, I just completely draw a blank on. My two favorite Be Our Guests, I have actually three favorites, two of which you didn't mention. The Porky's one, the first one, you know, you always, it's like your first kiss. That was, I had a really good time writing that. The second one was one that we did about the very, very early in the candidacy of our last president, about the border wall. And I didn't hear you mention that one.
I didn't.
And that was, so that was week 1139. And that was a winner as well. And then the third one was one that I wrote and submitted twice last year. And it got no ink, no love at all from the Empress, but I like it anyway. It's one about beer drinking fraternities. And it was the contest was to write to anagram the name of a song. So we anagrammed Be Our Guest and called it Beer Gusto You.
Let's hear it. Do you have it in front of you?
I do indeed.
Will you sing it?
You know, we lawyers want to be prepared, right? All right. So here we go. Beer Gusto You. We ingest. Every day's Oktoberfest. Drinking brews is what we choose, and we refuse to be suppressed. We love Coors, we love Buds, we'll quaff any kind of suds. Natty Bows, why they're delicious. Miller Lights, we drink like fishes. Crack a book, go to class. No thanks, Dean, we'll take a pass. Graduation's a formality at best. We're gonna raise the roof, at least until we boof, because we don't rest, we'll attest, we ingest.
That's really good. I like how you got boof in there.
Yeah, well, you were kind enough to let me do it. So
I always pity poor Pat for having, first of all, she has to go through a lot of junk, I'm sure, but she has to go through a lot of really good stuff too, and a lot doesn't make the cut, and it's got to be really difficult.
And Pat's, I find her judgment to be spectacularly good from week to week and every week. So, you know, in those weeks where I might come up short, you know, I'll go back and look and say, well, what did I put in and why didn't that make it? And I'll invariably agree that she picked better stuff than I submitted. So I give her a lot of credit for that.
Yeah, I think you're right about it. Is that a cat in the background?
It is.
It's not a problem. I just think people will notice it. And I just want to be able to refer to it.
And let me just say, this cat only appears when I'm on a Zoom call. So I've been a year of of doing this. And I'd like to say in the immortal words of Mr. Porton in Texas, I'm not a cat.
That's actually a preview of what Mike liked and what the guest blessed, because that was one of the entries or one of the winners.
Yeah.
But we're not going to get to that yet. So I just want to mention some of the other people who had winners with Be Our Guest. Barb Sarshik in 2004 has the first one that I could find, but obviously I missed others, for the Star Spangled Banner. Dion Black had one about an oil spill. Matt Menito had one about wasps. Then Duncan had five. Stephen Gold had one about the Volkswagen emissions scandal. Marcus Bales had one on education theme, and Duncan had one on that too. Jesse Frankovich had one on a Corona songs, and Ann Martin had one on anti-vaxxers. So there's a rich heritage there, but you stand above them all. At least 11 now, because I missed that one and maybe more, quite possibly more.
I don't know. And you know, honestly, it's fun from week to week when we run it, or Pat runs a parody contest. And, you know, we know that now it's become kind of one of the items to, you know, a box to check, or, you know, write a bunch of parodies. Ooh, what can we do with this one on the LoserNet website, or the email list where people share the entries from week to week? You know, always look forward to seeing, oh, who's got one of those this week.
Talking briefly before we started taping, we talked about some of the previous episodes, and you mentioned that your episode was going to be like a certain Disney ride. If you were Disney ride, or your episode were Disney ride, what would that be?
I maybe it was a matter of lowering expectations, but I think the comment was one of, you had Bob Stack, you had your Space Mountain, now you're about to get It's a Small World, tame and maybe saying things that are hard to understand.
Well, but there's a lot going on. It's quiet, but there's so much detail in It's a Small World. If you don't get driven crazy by the song, you look at the kind of work, the craftsmanship on some of the puppets or, the scenery. It's pretty incredible. That's not a bad thing.
I say my memory of It's a Small World is different from most. My memory of it is being with my 2-year-old who was terrified of that ride. And once you're in, you can't get off. Scarred for life. Certainly I was, maybe the child was as well.
If you're It's a Small World and Bob Stack was Space Mountain, what's Gene Weingarten?
Oh my Lord.
I'm going to put you on the spot.
I'm going to go with Haunted Mansion.
Ooh, I like that. Got a lot of layers to it. And he is kind of a sneaky guy, and a little bit scary too. How about Pat?
Well, Pat, I remember her saying on her episode, she's the nurturing mother. So I'm going to react to that by putting her down as Cinderella's castle.
Whether
she's the stepmother or the fairy godmother is up to anybody to decide.
Different things to different people, for sure.
I'm going to give Eldon the Hall of Presidents. all of them dignified until the next one gets in.
Do you mean like the animatronic ones?
Well, that's the only one there is, right?
Yeah. You're comparing Eldon to an animatronic ride, just to be clear about it.
No offense. There's history there, and you can appreciate it.
This was the first time in years that I've actually got to paint a Harvard lawyer into a corner. It doesn't happen very often, but it's my comfort as the host of the show. So
just be in my family and have dinner. It happens every night.
Okay. Yeah, I'm always on the losing end too. I'm always on the defensive. Tell us a little bit about you're a well-respected lawyer. You do tort law and I think you do toxic torts, right? Or you do class action tort law, right? And I know you're involved in the Internet of Things. You're involved in autonomous vehicles, so that on the tech side, you do cybersecurity. One would say you're definitely fit into the Washington culture. How did you get into the Style Invitational?
I have always told silly jokes and made up silly parodies and done silly things. And, I tortured my family for many, many years with that. And my kids left home and I had very little outlet for it. And I guess I was sitting on the deck one afternoon and reading the Style Invitational, which I read every week from the time it started coming out. I always enjoyed it, but never thought to put anything in. And I at one point I said, I could enter this. Let me just go ahead and enter it. And then I got the immediate response back from the Empress that said, thank you for joining this, thank you for something that suggested to me, oh, wow, I'm valued. I've got something going on. I only came to realize later that that's what goes out automatically the moment an entry goes in. But, I saw ink for that first entry and it was kind of I was hooked after that. Because I remember the first entry and what I thought of, and I remember that did get ink. It was a come up with something that would be annoying, something, a way to ways to annoy people. And I what I wrote was, if you're the juror, come with a bunch of daisies and then sit on in the jury box picking he's guilty, he's not guilty, he's guilty. Pat thought that was funny. But look, I mean, nobody gets ink every week, even if they submit every week. And it those weeks where you get shut out are the weeks when you think, yeah, well, this is hard. That's why it's fun.
Do you, besides music, obviously you've mastered lyrics. Are there a particular type and a type of contest that you like? I mean, obviously you said you can't win if you don't put in. And so you put in entries for everyone, but are there some that are a lot easier to do than others? And some you're like, oh, I can't, I'll just put in a couple because it's not my favorite.
The process is, I think, always fun. Some of them are more fun than others. The poetry, the obit verses, the verses writing around new words, limericks. I limericks is sort of the fallback, but I've learned a little about double dactyls and iambic pentameter and the rest. And the craft is really, really fun. I really enjoy those. And, the anagrams, I refuse to use any kind of programs. I pull my Scrabble set out and play with the tiles, and that process is fun, but it's hard to do. And so there are fewer entries from week to week. Are there any that aren't fun? I think the free prose entries to me are challenging. And, the product reviews or the write the bad ending to a novel, I'm just not as good at it as I'd like. I'm certainly not as good at it as the people that win those contests. And so, my hats are off, very much off to the people that are good at that.
You said a lot of interesting things there, but I think the most fascinating was that you do the anagramming by hand. That in today's day and age is phenomenal. Anytime I do anagramming, I go to the anagramming machine, the software, because I don't want to spend time doing that. And actually don't spend much time doing that because it's just, I feel kind of weird doing it. But I always use the anagrammers. And the fact that you just move the letters, Scrabble letters around is so time consuming. It's the pure way to do it. I admire you for that. But you do realize that for each time you move a tile, the 10 seconds it takes, you can come up with like 50 million possible anagrams from the software.
It's just a matter of what's more fun, right? It's not a matter of point of pride. I mean, I if I'm writing song parodies or poetry, I'm in the rhyme zone religiously to see to find the right word. But you got to do what's fun.
That's true. I think it's time to move into what Mike liked and what the guest blessed. You know the pattern here in the rules, right? We pick our favorites of the week. We count down from 4 to 1, like Pat does, but we replace her judgment with our perhaps superior or perhaps inferior judgment. And as the guest, you win the coin flip. So you can defer and I'll go first, or you can go first.
Well, no, I'm going to go first because my fourth place one is one that I want to claim it. It's Jesse Frankovich's Winner, which was hysterically funny. He anagrammed Perseverance probe successfully lands on Mars. And from that, he created endless probes from space cleverly scan Uranus. I thought that was in a great long tradition of Uranus jokes. That ranks way up. That's still only my fourth.
That was brilliant. I didn't pick it for that same that reason, because it's the Uranus joke, which I've seen a lot of, and I thought he had better ones this week. And my number four is actually his too, Jesse's as well. And it was billions without power as winter weather blasts the U.S. This whiteout's terrible. Lots of snow. We ain't warm. Help us. And the reason I picked that over the other 25 he had was because some of the other ones, they were great. But when someone uses the same word that's in the original, like Ted Cruz, I deduct some points there because if it says Ted Cruz, blah, 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 and then the sentence has Ted Cruz, it's like, to me, that's a little bit cheating, even though it was hilarious and it was great. I give more points to the ones that don't repeat words.
We'll not quarrel. I will say of Jesse, though, when he circulates on LoserNet, I find myself thinking, well, all right, what's left for the rest of us after she prints 25 of his? They're all great. He gets robbed every week.
I bet, because there's so many good entries. It's like, okay, what separates one from the other? So on to your number three.
Well, my number three is a Chris Doyle entry. And he's another one that just does, there's no bad entries in the bunch. The headline was, "Can I still wear my grandmother's fur?" And Chris anagrammed that to "Run wild, nasty girl," from the cameras.
From
the cameras. fur joke. I love the theme on that. And I thought it's short, pithy, and very funny.
that made my short list. It didn't make it into, you know, one of the top four, but for my three, I actually cheated for the first time and I picked two, but it was by the same person, by Kevin Dopart. And the first one was Millions Lose Power in Texas, Northern Mexico as Blackouts and Bitter Cold Continue. And his was Notable Climate Hoax Notion Tricks Town's Credulous, Inexplicable Moron Residents. And then tied for that, Biden Moves to Hard Part of Reversing Trump Legacy. And that was the one that I think came in as number two or three. Removes Perfect Bathroom Stain, Gravy Puddle Ring. Oh, it's so disgusting. Really evocative and really good.
Yeah, it's the ones that have the thing, you get a mental picture of the gravy puddle ring. Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. Are you ready for my number two?
Ready for your number two.
All right. And I say, are you ready for my number two? Meaning it in the nicest sense.
Okay.
But the Steve Allison entry, pardon me while I scroll down to it. So Steve Allison is a first offender. And I would have to say, for a first offender, this is a very sophisticated and spectacularly funny entry. The headline was, as mating rituals go, Valentine's Day isn't so bad. And Steve wrote, bods uniting at a sassy animal love isn't G-rated. I had to struggle not to laugh as I said it.
Yeah, that's, I like that. And he's a first offender. That's a tough one to ink on, or a tough contest to ink on.
He jumped right in.
Yes, congrats.
I hope we'll
to him.
See more. I hope and expect we're gonna see more from him, and I can't wait.
Yes, great stuff. Let's hope so. My number two is by somebody who I pick fairly often. This one was by Hannah Seidel, and it's tracking Biden's political appointees, and it was picking tepid, banal Eastern politicos. I mean, That's like the exact rewording of that headline. You can't do better than that.
Yeah, I thought that was a great entry as well. And I, you know, I have to say I stayed this week mostly away from the political humor, and maybe it's because I got worn out by it. You know, I find myself struggling to say the name of the former president. I'm maybe entertained more by things that aren't political, but not to say I didn't laugh at the political stuff. I thought it was all hysterically funny. But my number one this week is it's not political, and it's by somebody that I think has just been relatively new, but rapidly ascending the ranks of losers, and with great, great, great stuff. So this is by Jonathan Jensen. Jonathan wrote, the headline was Taking Your 9-to-5 on the Road. And instead he had 95 ratty honking, ratty honking auto rodeo. 30 characters maybe, but just nailed it. That was my favorite.
Jonathan is a great guy. And yes, he's been coming up with fantastic entries. And I should tell everyone now that I asked Mark to write a new version of Be Our Guest for the theme song, or one of the theme songs for the show. And you did in like 5 minutes. And I mean, I gave you a few days, and he said, oh, I'll have something back to him. Like a few minutes later, it was like perfectly baked. And so I thank you for that. It was brilliant. And then I asked Jonathan Jensen, who wrote and played the original theme song, which is still the theme song, if he could perform it and tape it. And he did within another 5 minutes. So, you know, he's just a great guy. And it's going to be, rather than play it now, I'm going to play it to close out the show. So hang on. We're almost there. I'm at my number one entry. Then in a few minutes, you'll be hearing the great new, the debut of Be Our Guest for this podcast, written by Mark Raffman and performed and recorded by Jonathan Jensen. My number one is, I referenced it earlier when your cat was meowing in the background and you said, I'm not a cat. Bruce Neat, who also I've picked in the past, and I'm not a cat, says lawyer, having Zoom difficulties. And he made that into meow. Activating a shy, crazy feline lifts U.S. mood, which it did. And I gave extra points for meow, M-I-A-O-W, which I think is probably a legal spelling in Scrabble. You know, it wasn't the M-E-O-U, M-E-O-W, and I think there's an M-I-A-O-A-U or something. And I just thought that was great. It wasn't political, as you say, and it was funny, and it captured that really well. We're running up to the end of the show. Anything I didn't ask you that you want to mention about any of the contests, about any of your fellow losers, anything interesting that, you know, if we didn't talk about, we wouldn't really know Mark Rathman, the loser?
Well, there's one thing I want to encourage folks who, if you're listening to this podcast and you've, you know, listened to the other podcasts and you're, you know, then you're kind of a devotee, right? A loser fan. I want to encourage everybody, especially folks who came to the contest more recently, to go back into NRARS.org, the archives of the contest. And I want to encourage you to search out parody songs written by Nan Reiner, who, to my way of thinking, is the best song parodist this contest has ever seen. We don't hear from her as much now, or it's been a while, but if you want to read some good parody songs, that's where to go. And there's a lot of them because she got a lot of ink and they are just splendidly crafted. They're ribald. The vocabulary is and the faithfulness to the original songs all across the board. It's just a wonderful body of work and you all need to check it out. And then the second person whose work you should check out is Mae Scanlon, who sadly is no longer with us, but Beverly Sharp alluded to her in her podcast, and May's stuff is worth checking out as well. It's just really, really funny and in a sweet, gentle way for the most part, but too many of us are incapable of being sweet and gentle and still being funny. So there you go.
Well, that's a great way to end deflecting attention upon two other very talented losers, and Nan has a beautiful voice as well. So, and I agree with May, your description of her entries, they were very sweet, yet they kind of cut to the core. Mark, it's been such a pleasure talking to you. This wraps up the first season. I don't know if there'll be more seasons, we'll see, of Be Our Guest. You're invited, and we're going to proceed to the new song right after this. But thank you for being the season closing guest. It's been great.
And thank you so much for having me, Michael. It's been my pleasure. And regards to all the losers out there.
Be our guest, be our guest. Come back soon as we suggest. Your invited is excited when you join our chatter fest. Get the dirt, get the scoop while we're joking about poop or our leader's latest gaffin' or some puns to leave you laughing. Did Bob Stack talk some smack? Did the czar give us some flack? Were there entries from last week that we have blessed? Tune in to hear some more about our invite lore. Come be our guest, be our guest, be our guest. Sarah Walsh plays a game. Jeff and Eldon, they're not lame. Let Chris Doyle and Danielle Nowlin leave you howling just the same. Learn the myth of Chuck Smith, jokes that wow you with their pith. Duncan Stevens, he's amusing. And Bev Sharp, she wins by losing. Just stay tight with the vite, where the Empress keeps it light. And the losers hope she's suitably impressed. Come on and lend an ear, cause you're invited here to be our guest. Be our guest, be our guest.